As Jesus unfolded the various truths of his being the bread of life, his Jewish audience was becoming more and more incensed. Their anger was the result of their blind unbelief. What a difference it makes when a person sincerely confesses, "Lord, I believe." Suddenly, darkness turns to day, and hatred changes to love. In response to Jesus' declaration, "I am the bread of life," we read in John chapter 6, verse 52, that the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" The striving was different from the murmuring. It suggests that Christ's audience became more angry as he progressed with his discourse. Not willing to recognize him as the one he was, they spoke of him as this man, merely another philosopher seeking to sell his peculiar teachings. With the crowd in a frenzied state and opposition having reached its peak, our Lord gave the people a profound truth, which to our day is misunderstood by many people. In verse 53 we read, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." The importance of this statement is evidenced in the use of the word "except." Our Lord did not use this word frequently, but when he did, it was something of marked importance. Now, what does it mean to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God? Well, first of all, let us be sure, it does not mean a literal eating of Christ's flesh nor drinking of Christ's blood. Nor does this have anything to do with the communion service. For it is not through the partaking of the bread and wine at the communion table that one receives life. The dying thief on the cross did not have the privilege of receiving communion after his conversion, but he received eternal life. There is no alternative here, according to our Lord. "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." It was actually an expansion of the truth of verse 51. "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, this can mean nothing else than the sacrifice he made for our sins on the cross. Thus, in speaking of eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, he referred to that act of faith whereby the believing heart receives the work of Christ on the cross as the substitutionary fulfillment for the payment of sin. It is to receive Christ as one's Savior and Lord, acknowledging his death on the cross as the vicarious sacrifice for sin. Unless one recognizes the fact that the body of Christ was broken and his precious blood was shed for sin, he cannot possibly receive eternal life. To eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood is to receive Christ by faith. When we eat physical food, we receive it. It becomes a part of us. So when one eats and drinks of Christ, he receives Christ. Christ becomes a part of the believer. Now in verse 54, the Lord Jesus restates conversely what he had already stated in verse 53. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." As he had said previously, "Except ye eat and drink, ye have no life," he now says, "Whoever eats and drinks has life." It is interesting to note that the word "eateth" used in this verse and also in verse 56 is different from that used in verse 53. As used here, it means a continual eating of the flesh and blood of Christ, rather than a once-and-for-all eating and drinking. The reason for this change in the use of words is obvious. One is eternally saved the moment he invites Christ to come into his life by faith. But the believer does not stop with this initial act. We must eat of his body and drink of his blood continually. Day by day, the child of God must live in constant fellowship and communion with Christ. Does this suggest an uncertainty of one's salvation? Is salvation dependent upon one's daily experience? If one has truly eaten of the body and drunk of the blood of Christ, He will desire to have daily communion and fellowship with Him. This desire within the heart of the believer is a strong evidence of his conversion. What our Lord has said here renders ridiculous the words of some who declare that they believe on Christ, and yet they give no evidence of a holy and godly life affected by the power of Christ. The believing of facts does not necessarily save. There must be daily fellowship with the Lord as an evidence of heart belief. We read in 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." None of us has the strength to live the Christian life alone. We are dependent upon Christ living through us. Doubtless that's why Jesus used this word for eateth. He wanted us to see how dependent we are upon Him for our continued spiritual existence. We must commune with Him and talk with Him all through the day, committing our little frettings and cares to Him, seeking His power to overcome temptation, drawing upon Him for the constant victory that can be found in Him only. Those who live daily in this experience will have no fear after death, for Jesus said, "I will raise him up at the last day." Now, this is the fourth time in this chapter that our Lord has made this statement. Thus, it is something that must not be overlooked. Now, in verse 55, we read, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." The word "indeed" used here could also be translated "truly." In other words, Christ is food and drink in the highest and fullest sense. The fact that millions are burning out their lives to make money while practically ignoring Christ convinces me that they think money is food and drink. They think they have found real life. Satan has scores of delusive traps laid in the paths of needy souls in his attempt to keep them from Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 56, Jesus said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." You see, there is a special intimacy expressed in these words of our Lord. He speaks of our dwelling in him and his dwelling in us. Here is double assurance of God's sustaining and protective care. Sometimes, because of the neglect of the quiet time, or perhaps because of our sin, we feel that Christ has been crowded out of our lives. Of course, we only feel this way. Feelings can be very convincing. But one thing is certain: the believer can never be crowded out of Christ. We are in Him and have no reason to worry or to be fearful. Christ feels our every heartache and understands our every sorrow. We may confidently trust Him for all things, as we are told in Colossians 3, verse 3, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." Now in verse 57, Jesus said, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Let no believer think he can live for a tiny fraction of a second without the strength and help of the indwelling Christ. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus declared, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We must not look to our frail flesh, for if we do, we shall be defeated. It is Christ who gives life, and it is Christ who sustains life. And then verses 58 and 59, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. It is believed by some that Jesus spoke part of this discourse to his hearers who had gathered after coming to Capernaum by boat, and then breaking it off abruptly, he moved into one of the synagogues where he continued to speak on the living bread in the presence of the many Jews that gathered. Not too much is said about this, but much is said about the living bread, so there is no need of anyone missing the point that he is the bread of God. I hope you know this in your heart. I hope you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your very own. Christ came from heaven to provide food for the souls of all men who believe on him. I hope, friend, that you've believed on him. If not, now is the time. Bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Father God, for those who have been eating of the poisonous fruits of this world, may they now eat of the bread of life. We thank you for our living Lord and praise you that he is concerned about us. He loves us and he wants to help us. Help us to trust him fully for all things, that we may truly magnify his name wherever we go or in whatever we do. I pray this for his glory. Amen.